Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And coming up there is Mujalife Rabodila. And have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard about Jesus? Because I certainly have. I know him. I know him for myself. I've seen him walk with me even in the darkest valleys. And I've seen him take me through those seasons. He is indeed the Lord of all. Welcome to the second hour of Spectrum. It is, of course, Monday's edition of Spectrum. Man, aren't I blessed to wrap off the week with you. Trust me, I truly am. It is a Monday, and of course, in this hour, we've got families of virtue. So stick around for that conversation coming up shortly.
Reach your customers in the car, at the office, at home, or wherever they are, night or day. Through advertising with Radio Pulpit, you can reach a large, unique, and loyal audience in a most affordable way. With over 500,000 people on our various platforms, from Gauteng to the Cape, you simply cannot go wrong. So advertise today. Contact us on 012-334-1339. Or for advertising packages that we offer, go to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Terms and conditions apply.
Greetings, everyone. This is Virtuous Roots, where we reclaim virtue to bring into our home and yours. And I'm Thomas McCuddy.
And I'm Thomas Quackenbush.
And I'm Nick Wiegand. Tonight we get to talk about how can families foster an attitude of service in a self-centered culture. Now, this is, this is one of those topics that really gets me, you know, kind of passionate, to be honest with you, because I see a lot of really selfish kids and a lot of really self-centered adults. This is a, I think this may not just be for the children and the parents. This might be something that we may need to look inward a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea of an attitude of service, what is even an attitude of service?
It's one of those that, again, I think people want to be served. They have this sense of entitlement. It's about me. So service is about the other people. It's about what can I do for others. It's about, you know, how can I be a blessing? How can I help someone? How has God equipped me that I can use that for other people's good rather than my own self? And it's an attitude, because I think some people, they're able to serve. And some of where this comes from is that my little brother had a friend in high school. And he went into, he was going to do like business and something else. And I had come back home and he was home and we were talking, and I asked him, you know, so what is he doing with his life? And he was a nurse, but it was like a travel, like trauma. I'm forgetting the right word. Like when there's some sort of natural disaster, they have nurses who go out and do that.
All
like
right.
You basically go into that area where, especially if they're low staffed, you know, this is what he does. So he lives basically in a camper, going and working in cities for, you know, a few weeks to months wherever he's needed. And I was like, that's really good. Like, wow, that's, you know, you get to help a lot of people. He's like, yeah, I guess so. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I don't really care about the people. Like, you know how much money I make?
Right.
So I was like, I was shocked. I was like, okay, so he serves. And he serves in ways other people, but his whole attitude is entirely wrong. And that was how he chose this particular career. It was how he can make the most money the fastest. So this is why it's not just about the action of getting them to serve. It's this attitude of service, this Christ-like servant's heart that I think is missing. And one of the ways that we mess this up, because I know in high school, there's a club called Beta Club that was designed to teach us like public service and serving others. We had to do so many community hours, but that's what it all was. Like, we did these hours so we could be in the club.
And it
so
would
we
look could really good things. In college.
Looks good on college resumes. It was never about actually helping people because people need help. It was about padding my resume for college. So I think that's why this is a topic that needs to be dealt with, because I know as a youth pastor, I saw so many parents fall into that as well. They want their kids doing all these things because it will help them. And even when I was in another city, there was a humanitarian organization we partnered with, and they did a training video. And for 30 minutes, that's all we heard about is about how good it would make us feel to help other people. So we desperately need to teach our children and to ourselves as adults, make sure we're cultivating that servant's heart. So that way we're serving more like Christ and not just a cheap imitation.
Okay.
I think is the concern.
What are some, what do you think are some of the, indicators of a self-centered culture? Like I almost don't feel as if it's necessary to even go into it, but like really, what are the glaring indicators that show us that we live in an absolute self-centered culture?
And I think that like kind of like taking what Thomas says and kind of rendering it down, it's just like whatever action you do that interacts with somebody else and helps them, it's like, and your attitude is, what can I get out of this? Like, what can I get out of this? How is this going to benefit me? And always looking for that, like that reciprocal kind of thing. They're always constantly like, well, you know, if I do this, then, you know, I'm going to get this in return, and always thinking about themselves and not kind of just, I think the service, especially biblically, would be, you know, because Christ sets that example for us, and he laid down his life for us so that we can have life. And we look at that, I mean, and then we put it in our context and look at like how we serve one another and how, what's like, and I think it's a hard attitude. Like when you ask yourself, what's my motivation to do this act? Am I doing this merely to benefit myself, or either immediately or in the future, or I'm doing this like for the simple fact that I want to help this person because they're in need, or, you know, I want to build this relationship with this person because I love them and I want to, you know, actually make a difference in their lives in that way.
So how do we begin this? How do we build this attitude? I think it really starts with small things.
Yeah.
I think it's very small things that need to be implemented, and holding them accountable to the small things to build that culture. In the Army, we were always taught, and I know this is it is a small thing, but in the Army, leaders always ate last every time, like without question.
Yeah.
Leaders ate last, and the main reason is if there's not enough food, who ought not get it? Right, the leader should not get it, and it's showing as an act of service. So that's one of those things that I know it seems like a silly thing, but it's a small thing, and it might even be a small thing that nobody notices. But how do we then implement those same small acts of service, selflessness, the opposite of self-centeredness, right? Selflessness in our own homes.
And I think this too, doing things without, and just because...
Well, give me something concrete.
Concrete, like just doing something like, say if you're in your house, I mean, if we do a household thing, like cleaning up a mess that wasn't yours or whatever, and no one's going to give you any applause for it. They might not even know the mess existed. You know, like, you know, you come home, maybe like your pet knocks something over, instead of just like waiting for the next person to do that, just clean it up. And I think I'm using that example. I mean, I know it's probably a bad example, but the idea is just doing something without, like, you know, because the only person that really is going to witness you doing this is God. And so, you know, and ultimately that's who you're trying to please, but also the people around you. You're like, I want to do this because even though I'm not getting any recognition for it, it just makes, you know, life around me better. And you can think of that in all those different ways of...
I think it's a good example of how we ought to be.
Yeah.
But how do we instill that in our children?
Well, because that's where we want to get them eventually, is that they do that without any recognition. So it starts with those little things, like when, and I've used this example before, like when my kids are having to clean up something that's not their mess, the idea of serve your brothers. And you know, when you have siblings, again, we try to draw our territory lines, and this is not mine, and you know, and you need to do yours, and it's always about them, and trying to communicate and teach them, be the first one to do this. Like, you're here, so you do this. And I think earlier what you said, you briefly mentioned it, I think what really separates the servant attitude from like what we see in the world is that concept of love. Mm-hmm. Like, it should be fueled by that idea of love, that when you love, this is why you're going to do.
Yeah.
And teaching, so what you're teaching them is that when you, you know, take your brother's and clean up your brother's shoes that were left here for whatever reason, this is an act of love. Like, don't you love your brother, you love, you know, the family, you should, from a sense of, because we love God, we love others. And I think it's always, that was something that was taught in the early church, that true Christian love is possible because of our love for God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why also when we are hateful towards other people, well, that's, how could you say you love God and you hate people,
right,
that he's made?
Exactly.
So that's why one of the manifestations of that love is that service and that heart of service with other people. And it's going to start in the home. It's going to start with little things. It's going to start, I think, also why if we learn to do this in the home, we can really learn how to do it, because in the home, that's where, particularly among siblings, there can be some level of contempt. There can be some level of, you know, they will so much faster serve and do for other people than they will their brothers. Yeah. And I've watched this among siblings. I watched this among family members. So I think that's why in the home, those little things, loving that way, the people that might be harder to love sometimes because they have more opportunities to wrong you.
Right.
They have more, you know, you might be like, we're a homeschool family, so we're around each other all the time.
Yeah.
So we have a high level of irritability around each other sometimes. We're around each other all day. So if we can learn how to do that amongst each other, then when we're out in the world and we're out with other people and we've not been around them, it's actually easier.
Yeah.
Your heart has already been trained in that direction. And you're showing that love naturally, rather than what happened with my kids early. They were, you know, we'd ask them, you know, would you treat, you know, how would you act with, you know, when they would go over to someone's house, and, oh, I would never do that. Oh, I would definitely, you know, take care of that. I was like, then do that here.
Yeah.
Start here at the home. Prepare for that. Because otherwise, again, this is why we talk about the heart, because like, oh no, I would behave somewhere else. Well, recently they spent a weekend with some friends, and we've seen some of those vices come out. Like, oh, you do that at home. And we're seeing now the heart is wrong.
Yeah.
And we need to work on that in those little things, in those little moments, to cultivate that heart in the right direction and that love for others and that care. That it stems from a sense of justice and willing the good of another person.
So I have a small example, a concrete example of something along those lines. So recently I had three boys at my house for a weekend, and I walked into the bathroom and the toilet seat was up. And I looked and I called all three boys into the bathroom and I said, gentlemen, when you live in a house with a woman, you do not leave the toilet seat up purely out of respect for the woman that lives in that house. And they all looked at me and they said, yes, sir. I said, you do not want my wife falling in that toilet, because then you have to deal with me. And it is absolutely an act of service towards the woman that lives there, of respect. Mm-hmm. And so it's the little things, right? With my children, I was always the exact same way I treated everything that I did with them, as I instilled the small things.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday supper, we have a huge table full of family. There is not a fork lifted until Grandma, who usually makes it, or Wendy, my wife, who usually makes it, is sitting at the table. There is no eating. We don't, you know, they served us, so we ought to serve them.
Yeah.
And so I think there's these minor, small, little things that we need to do as men of our homes, and I know there's moms listening, as moms, there's things that we must do, and it's the small things that equal that turn into the very, very, very big things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know these might seem like silly little examples, but I think they're good examples.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we're gonna install small things, I'm gonna read 1 Peter 4:10-11. It says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Mm. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And I think that this verse, it kind of goes back to another conversation that we had about the idea of stewardship, is that if we are trying to do everything, even the little things, as if to glorify God, then, I mean, that's what we need to instill in ourselves and what we're trying to instill in our children. It seems to be harder with our children.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And are we just purely fighting their flesh, or are we fighting little mirror images of ourselves?
Both. And I think that the other reason it's harder with children is because it's a long game. You can't microwave these things. And I think of this particularly with our oldest. I've really started noticing the way he's changed. There's been certain things that have happened, and he responds selflessly, or he puts lets his brothers go first. I mean, it used to not be that way. And for years, we dealt with this and worked with this. And I think some parents, they kind of get worn down and they feel like they're not making any progress. But virtue is cultivated in the practicing. It's a slow cultivation process, and it's supposed to be, because we want that the virtues, in a sense, if I can use the concrete example, to soak into the soul, and that's just going to take a long time.
Right.
And
well, in all fairness, I mean, I've seen your oldest boy without any prodding, for absolutely no reason, take the youngest one and lift him up and help him and even hug him, which you do not see young men do.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
But even hug him to help ease his pain or his stress or whatever. And it's so we even externally get to see those virtues coming alive in him.
Mm-hmm. And that's where, again, he just turned 15. So we have worked at that for 15 years. And we joke because, again, I think about how he was as a little child. And when they're younger, you see these behaviors and just draw a trajectory. And you know that if these things are not curbed, then he's going to make a terrible human being. And we look at that, and I think parents sometimes think, oh, they'll just grow out of it. And just one day they'll just automatically snap into adulthood, and these things will automatically happen. And the reality is they don't.
No.
They don't.
I just want to push back. It's not that if these things aren't curbed, he's going to turn into a terrible human being. That probably shouldn't be how we parent. It should be that's the reactive, right? We want to push the proactive as well.
Right.
Right? Like we want to push, like, we definitely want to react, but we also want to be proactive in that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, well, these are the virtues that I need to instill so that not – so he's not a terrible human being, so he's an excellent human being.
Well, no. I'm just recognizing that if we don't do something with this, like, I see these are the issues. I see whether it's selfishness, whether it's the irritability, whether it's just meanness, whatever it is that happens with kids. You see this, and I think, again, for parents, they become frustrated because it just happens over and over and over.
Yeah.
And you feel worn down. And I know that even my wife and I have these conversations, like, are we really making that difference? Are we really getting through? And it's one of those things that virtue should be one of those things. It's usually not just overnight. It's just one day you look up and you realize all of a sudden they've grown into it. And that's from parentally just helping them and having also people around them. There's things that he learns from other people when they have good people that they're around.
Yeah.
You start to see these kinds of things, and I can see the influence on them because even my boys one day, like, we were heading out, and what do they all do? Peace out, Girl Scout. And I was like, yep, that's Nick. But it was so natural, and it's because they're around. You know, that's they're picking up, they're catching these things. And it's just the encouragement I want to give to parents that as we talk about if we're trying to cultivate this servant's heart, whatever virtues that we're working on, I think that's so important because it's so central to Jesus and his mission and what he was doing. And, you know, he came not to be served, but to serve.
Right.
And he did it from a sense of complete, genuine humility and love for people. And he didn't have to. You know, I'm always teaching when we're talking about Jesus, he did not have to, that it's the love of God that he reached out to us and did these things. And I tell my boys, that's what it means in many ways to have that servant's heart, to be like Jesus.
Yeah. There's two things before you, I don't want to miss one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, you said that it's caught when they're around people who are positive influences in their life. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's really important to surround them by positive role models. But we continue to be cognizant that they will also catch the negative if we allow too much interaction. Mm-hmm. You know, if we allow the negative influences in their life. Well, mm-hmm. that's just Uncle Joe. Well, Uncle Joe's a jerk, and he's not going to be around my children if Uncle Joe's going to act like a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was the first thing. But the second thing is, you know, you brought up Christ and Jesus and him being the servant. One thing that always keeps kind of coming back into my mind is many of our kids see us, like, if we're trying to walk that Christian life, if we're trying to live it day in and day out, they're going to see us serve, but they're also going to hear us talk about it later.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to see how we react to that. Mm-hmm. And react to others. Do we continue after we have served a church to continue that servant's heart, or do we complain and moan and, you know, whisper about, well, so and so doesn't do anything, or why didn't they do that, or why didn't they do this, or, you know, are we going to poke fun at others like that? That how are they going to see us later as we continue? And so it's not just the moment of, it's got to be a continual example of that servant's heart. Because I know Christ wasn't like, here, let me wash your feet, boys, you know, at the Last Supper. And then later he's like, man, Peter's feet were nasty. Like, I mean, that's not who Christ was. And we have to ensure that we are not, that we're going to mirror that, or they're going to mirror us.
I find if you don't, like, my boys, they start making those comments about, hey, so-and-so or so-and-so did this, so-and-so didn't do this. And if you don't, like, actually address that and put it out in a proper context, it balloons. And,
right.
And like, I think that, like, those attitudes towards those people it just continues to get worse. I mean, I think in home, like, they have brothers and sisters, but that's, like, kind of a theater for them to really kind of, like, I'm not saying it's like acting, but it's like, it's reality, but it's they're in an environment with their brothers and sisters, and they have to learn to cooperate properly. And it's a good place for them to learn all those skills. My middle son and my daughter, just like, she absolutely utterly adores him and looks up to him, but he kind of just, he takes that for granted, and he can be a jerk. And if he looks at her the wrong way, she's going to react, and he just, sometimes he has these sly comments that come out that she hears. I don't even hear them. And I'm like, you realize, like, you can either have a relationship with her, or you're just going to hate each other your whole life. Like, you know, you build these relationships now, and you give her an inch. Like, you just, like, you give her that attention, that, you know, sacrifice your own desires for her. She's, you know, she just, you know, and I'm not just doing this for this reason, but she looks up to you. You're not just, like, you know, another person to her. You are, like, she's going to model, like, her future husband over, you know, like, the men in her life that are so closest to her, how they treat her. And, you know, you want, and part of it is, I'm not the only one here, like, helping, you know, she's the youngest, and she's our daughter. She's my daughter and your sister. Like, you treat her that in a proper way.
And I think what you're kind of keying in on is the idea of giving your children the time and the attention to explain to them what their actions and their attitudes, yep, are, mm-hmm, how they impact each other,
exactly,
how they impact themselves, how they impact their walk with God, mm-hmm, how they impact the household. It's exhausting. Mm-hmm. But if you don't do it, and, yep, you let all of the sly comments go, if you let them if you let him treat her poorly, it will continue.
Yeah.
Or if you take the time and the attention that it requires, you will mold a young man who loves his sister.
Yeah.
It may take a while, it may take 15 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you let him go and you get lazy because you're tired or worn out,
or you feel like it's not working, so what's the point?
I mean, I deal with a lot of parents on and try to work them through these issues, and that is the one thing I always jump back to is this consistency. And the it takes it if we want to turn these children into what we're talking about, it is going to take some work and time from every one of us, and patience.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
And fortitude.
Absolutely.
And temperance. Mm-hmm. And prudence. And like, let's just add all of the virtues together. Yeah. Like, that's what this is going to take to turn these children into you know, these little Christians who we can be proud of. Yes. who are going to benefit this world.
Absolutely.
All right, gentlemen. Hey, I don't know. It might be one of my favorite conversations, and I know I really appreciate you guys' time. You can find us at familiesofvirtue.com, and this podcast, Virtuous Roots, can be found on all major streaming platforms. Be blessed, and we'll talk to you next time.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
When the drive gets long, we are there. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DSTV 882, and OpenView 607. Also, follow us on our social media, download our app, and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, still your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.